Welcome to the Blue Mound United Methodist Church podcast. My name is Pastor Jacob, and we are in the process of launching our digital ministry. We want you to subscribe and to provide feedback as we work towards doing this better. Our goal is to enrich your faith beyond our walls through sermons, interviews, and Bible studies. We hope that you'll be patient with us and offer us a little grace as we work out the kinks in the recording process.
This episode comes from our Easter Sunday sermon called Facing Tomorrow as Easter People. Let's start with our scripture readings before getting into our sermon.
The first reading for today comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you would please turn your hearts and minds to our New Testament reading, our second reading. If you would, even in your own living rooms, would you stand? For the reading of the gospel message this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven and came. And he rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. And this is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and saying, "Greetings." And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Holy Scripture.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that the Marys did go and they did tell. And we know because of them that the tomb was empty and that you have come here and again to be with us and to teach us of a new life, a life beyond death, a life with you, a resurrected life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, Christ is risen. So you may have heard there are sermons with 3 points and a poem. Maybe you've ever heard of that format for a sermon. Well, this will not be one of those sermons. In fact, there is only one main point, and here it is. I'm going to say it twice for you, but I also want whoever can to go ahead and drop it in the comments, as many of you as can, drop it in the comments so that others might understand that this is the main point. If you get nothing else from this message, get this. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow with great joy, no matter our fears and regrets. One more time, the main point for today's message is that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow with great joy, no matter our fears and regrets. However, this sermon may not have 3 points in a poem, but it will have at least 3 songs and a quote. So if you notice me insert a lyric or reference a song, keep track of that with me and go ahead and drop those in the comments as well. It's another way of keeping our hearts and minds engaged. Sometimes when we're watching worship on a screen, when we're worshiping through a screen, it's a little harder to keep our hearts and minds focused. And so this is another way of staying engaged. So if you hear a lyric or a song reference, go ahead and drop that in the comments as well. So I've heard it said that in difficult times, we tend to sing our faith. Our faith, our life's song, often determines then how we respond in various times. You may think of the Beatles, right? I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comforts me, seeking words of wisdom. Oh, I can't sing. Let it be. Let it be, let it be, right? You could keep going. And when you're having a hard time, maybe that's one of the songs that you want to lift up. Let it be. You know, there's a way of interpreting the word amen to mean the same thing as let it be. You see, there's a song that I learned when I was a child. At a Bible study that met at the apartment complex that I grew up in. And there are times in my life, especially recently, where I wish that I held a little bit closer to this song. But it's been with me in some of the deepest, darkest nights of my life. Days, too. I mean, it's not just evenings. But the song goes like this. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile through the storm. Smile through the storm, smile through the storm. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile through the storm. When you're sailing home, sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. See, without people in the room rolling their eyes at me, I can just keep going. Anyways, anyways. All right. So, it's a good song. It's a song that helps comfort me when life's going wrong, and it reminds me of all the times in Scripture where they were panicked and Jesus was literally asleep in the boat. And so when adversity comes at me, sometimes if I don't want to smile, sometimes I remember that song, and it helps me to remember that Jesus is in my boat. He's on my team. He's for me and not against me. Whatever struggle I'm in can work out for my good. You see, it also helps me to understand that sometimes I should respond the same way Jesus does. That instead of frantically doing and doing and doing more to try and solve whatever my perceived problem is, maybe I should rest and trust. You see, we tend to sing our faith. Whether we're people who claim the name of Christianity or not, we still tend to sing our faith. And you see, the world we're living in today may have plenty of storms. And I'm not just talking about the thunderstorms that rolled through the North Texas area in the last 24 hours. I'm talking about all the storms of our life, and I don't really think that there's much illustrating needed for the various storms in which we face today. So instead, I'll turn back to our scriptures now, and I'll look at and just try and unpack a little bit what Mary and Mary were going through here in Matthew 28. You see, It's estimated that Jesus' ministry time here on earth was about 3 years. And he had gone and he had taught and he had healed. And Mary Magdalene was one of those in whom Jesus had performed a great miracle. He had healed her of quite significant amount. And so she was deeply in love with Jesus, and she was deeply devoted to the things that he taught and shared. And she was devastated when he was crucified. She, maybe more so than the others in the stories of the crucifixion, she really kind of accepted that Jesus was being killed right then. She wasn't like those at the foot of the cross that shouted for him to save himself. She wasn't asking him to provide some sort of answer that would take away her pain in that moment. But instead, she knew that he had already removed a great pain from her, and so she just accepted what happened. She was devastated. And because of the Passover, she went from Friday night all the way through Saturday and couldn't do anything with her grief and pain. And so it says, even before the dawning of the morning, she went to where Jesus' body had been laid. In one of the Gospels, it says that the Marys were talking along the way, wondering who would roll the stone away for them. In another of the Gospels, it says that there was a guard of Roman centurions standing guard at the tomb to make sure that no one would rob the grave. Now, I like to go off on little fun historical tangents about Roman centurions and not being afraid, but here in this passage, it says that when the angel of the Lord appeared before them and rolled the stone away, it says here, 28 verse 4, for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've just watched someone you love and you've followed and you've shared your life with suffer and die. You've been without somebody that you love. You're trying to do something, and it just feels like maybe something else is going wrong. You see, they went, in one of the Gospels it says to adorn Jesus' body with perfumes and aloes. They went to do something for the person that they loved, but that they could not be with anymore. And he wasn't there. The different ways in which that we face similar challenges are stunning. You see, some of the things that we most hope for in life, they might not turn out the way we anticipated. Sometimes our loved ones might not be there for us anymore in a physical sense. And sometimes we can't be with the people we love the most. You see, this is a hard thing. And it wasn't just what happened here in Scripture. This is a story This part of the story, the pain of the story, the struggle, the storm of this story is a storm that occurs over and over and over again in our lives. Sometimes why Scripture is called a living word is because it speaks in such a way that it's true in so many ways. At the very least, in metaphorical ways, people tend to accept a metaphorical reference and message of resurrection. That every night, the sun goes down, and then night turns into day again, and the sun comes up. But sometimes in the deepest and darkest moments of our lives, in the most violent storms that we face, a metaphor is not enough. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that this is not just a metaphor. Jesus was not in the tomb. The pain that they felt may have even increased for a time. Even when we don't know what to do and we try and do something anyway, it can go wrong even further. And we'll wonder, how do we face tomorrow? Our sermon title this morning is Facing Tomorrow as Easter People. And you see, the thing is that we can't face tomorrow in so many ways. We can't face what the news will have for us tomorrow morning. We can't face the jobless claims that are going around. We can't face looking at our retirement portfolios. We can't face the reality that maybe we don't even have a retirement portfolio. We can't face the fact that in the midst of a health crisis, 17 million people in the last 3 weeks have lost their health care. There's so many things that we can't face. But you see, the thing is that even when this shelter in place ends, there's some things that we need to know we can't, so that we will know what we can. We can't face tomorrow because we had a margarita tonight. Can't face tomorrow because there's a mimosa for us in the morning. We can't face tomorrow because of a Wagyu steak and a single malt scotch. We can't face tomorrow because school is opening back up. We can't face tomorrow if school is out for the summer. We can't face tomorrow because we have a job. We can't face tomorrow simply because we've saved enough money. We can't face tomorrow because we may finally get to go out and hug somebody that we miss. No, that will not help us face tomorrow. Maybe for those introverts, we can't face tomorrow because we now have an excuse not to shake anyone's hand ever again. We can't face tomorrow because our gym opens back up. We can't face tomorrow because our favorite Mexican restaurant is now going to have that never-ending bowl of chips and queso and salsa again. No, that doesn't help us face tomorrow. Not even because of a vaccine or available testing or even herd immunity. We can't face tomorrow because of any of the things that we have relied on for too many times and for too many years. But because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Because the tomb was empty. Because Jesus, God's self, overcame even death for us, for your sake and for mine. Because God, who knows our fears and knows our failings, chose to pursue us in love. You were fully known. All your fears and failings were fully known to God, and God still pursued you. And he pursues me. He even went to overcome our greatest fear of death. And he got back up. That's something I can't do and you can't do except for the power of Christ that is within us. We can't overcome death, but Christ overcomes it for us because God chose to overcome our fears and to look past our failings. We can face tomorrow. Because I know he holds the future. And my friend's life is worth living because he lives. Because of the Easter story, because we, God's people, all people that were created are God's people, because we are the Easter people, hallelujah becomes our song. Hallelujah becomes our song. You know, that's actually one of my favorite quotes. It's a quote from Pope John Paul II, although one of my friends in ministry tends to attribute me to that quote. It's actually from John Paul. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. You see, my friends, I don't quite think that he was making reference to Leonard Cohen when he said that, or Jeff Buckley, or any of the various renditions you may have seen on American Idol. He's not just referring to a specific song called Hallelujah. You know which one I'm talking about. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. Hallelujah is a song, but not just that one. You see, hallelujah is an expression of great joy. Hallelujah. It's an expression, it's a word that goes beyond words in expressing a deep gratitude and great joy. It's because of the resurrection that we are the Easter people and we have the song of hallelujah. It's because of the risen Christ that we no longer have to be afraid. If you don't believe me, check back in the scripture here. It says in verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Let me back up just a little bit more. The angel came, scared the soldiers so much that they didn't just wet themselves, they passed out as if they were dead, and then said to the women, don't be afraid, and then told them the message that Jesus had been raised and that he would meet the disciples in Galilee. And it says, so they left the tomb quickly, this is verse 8, with fear and great joy. With fear and great joy. They had two things. But then suddenly Jesus met them and said greetings, and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. And so all they're left with is the great joy. All they've been sent forward with is the message that Jesus has been raised and he's coming to meet his disciples. And he'll meet them. Go tell them, don't be afraid. Go tell them, don't be afraid. They went with fear and great joy, but he said, don't be afraid. So they were left with a message and great joy. You see, our life song today and every day can in some way echo the songs of our faith. Our lives can echo the songs of Easter. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile through the storm. Smile through the storm. Smile through the storm. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile through the storm when you're sailing home. So my friends, no matter what you're facing today, know that we can face tomorrow as Easter people. You can face tomorrow with great joy because he lives. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. Friends, go and tell others. Our world is deeply in need. Our world is deeply in need of the joy that we have found in Jesus. The joy that we find in an empty tomb. The joy that we find with the message that death in this life is not the end, and it does not separate us from the love of God. My friends, God loves you, and he's with you through the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, that's it for this episode of Blue Mound Methodist Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out in any way, please send us an email at office@bluemoundumc.org. We'd love to hear from you.
If you've been blessed by this podcast, I want to challenge you to share this blessing with others by investing and inviting. Invite someone you know who might be blessed to hear this, to listen to it directly, or by sharing it on social media. Additionally, we ask you to make an investment in this digital ministry by going to bluemoundumc.org and clicking Give Now, or by donating through the Anchor Podcast app. This would help to expand the reach of this digital ministry and expand the gospel message. God bless.